Stand Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I'm glad to hear that you're happy and you're so glad that Jesus loves you. We're a chosen generation. We're a chosen people. Jesus loves you and He loves everyone in the world. Let us be faithful in spreading the good news of salvation to those about us. Last Sunday, being Easter Sunday, I shared a message and said about how the disciples were confused, they were uncertain. What was happening, the resurrection, and I took it from Luke Chapter 24. Some of my thoughts we're going to take from a little all over. There's a lot of passages I have that maybe we'll read. But we're going to back up a little bit. Brother Joe made mention that this Easter and the service today kind of ties together. Yes. Because if it wouldn't have been for Jesus' death and His suffering on the cross and dying, there would be no resurrection. We're thankful for that. To spring off the message of the morning, how many of you remember the number of the first song we sang? Anybody want to tell me what that number is? Either we're too bashful or we don't know. What about the second one? Well, I wrote them down so I know, because my memory can get short. Now, the song numbers, what it was this morning, by the way, the song numbers were 199 and 157, and they were good songs for us to think about. But the song numbers didn't really, we needed to know them so we could turn to that song and we could all sing together. But we put it in the file that we didn't need to remember them anymore, because we were at that place and it did what it was called to do, to help us all find that place. Today we have a memorial service in remembrance of something. Why? Because we're forgetful people. Oh, we say, well, no, we didn't forget that Jesus died for my sins and for your sins. We didn't forget that. But the question I have is, Jesus instituted this service this morning that we have so we remember. Turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua 4:7. I've titled the message of the morning, Stones of Remembrance. Stones of Remembrance. If you go out to the graveyard here, you will find some stones, and in those stones you'll see engraving on it. It's put there. It takes a special engraver to engrave it in them. Why? So that when we can walk through a graveyard and we see, oh yes, that was so and so. Oh yes, that was maybe a relation to us. Has their day that they were born, day that they died, and maybe even a little bit about what their life was like. If they were faithful or not. But stones of remembrance. All right, let's read. And we know this passage in Joshua chapter 4, and this is just, I'm just sharing this for a springboard to help us to get our mind about my burden of where I got the stone part and what we need to remember, what needs to be engraven in us. You know, these people of Israel were traveling back to the land of promise, and they walked through that river, and they God commanded them to pick up stones out of there and set it on the other side for a memorial. Joshua chapter 4, verse 7. And ye shall answer them, when your children ask what these stones mean, then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. We want to think this morning about a stone of remembrance. Things that we need to remember that this service this morning puts there for us. It helps us to remember the work of Jesus and what He did. Today we are having a memorial service of our Lord and what He has done for you and me. The place I own down at Phillips Creek, we bought from an older couple. And I remember when he passed away, when Stuart passed away, they wanted to have a memorial service down at the church there. One of the things that at a memorial service what happens is the body is not there. The body of the one that is passed on is not there. But you get together and you share memories of the life they had lived. Today in spirit we say Jesus is with us. But His bodily form is not here. But we're still having a memorial service for our Lord and what He has done for us. But we're forgetful people. Turn with me to Deuteronomy. We say the children of Israel is oftentimes what we are like in this world. You know, we kind of ride this whole thing of our spiritual life and we strive hard. But the devil is such a deceiver, and he can trip us up. Deuteronomy 6, I'm going to read verse 10 through 12. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and good cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I read those verses because Egypt, a type of the world, and how Jesus pulls us from the world. He calls us forth from the world. He saved us from the filth of this world. But today we live in a land of ease. It's so easy for us to forget the price that was paid for our sins. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. You know, as we think about this, that verses we read in Deuteronomy 6, how they were coming into a land of promise, how they were coming into a land that had flowed with milk and honey. There was so much ease. There was so much wealth there. Think of this verse as it applies to us today. We need to beware. This young man that came running to Jesus. Luke 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into way, there came one running and kneeled to him and said, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. These were commandments that were graven in stone for them to remember. And he answering, verse 20, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now we can take this and we can go many ways in a message, but I just want to get the basic part of the ease that this man had. Yes, he did everything according to the law. But he forgot to sell out totally for God. His wealth got in the way of his spiritual life. He went away sorrowful, not willing to pay the price. Today we live in a world of wealth and prosperity. We have many spiritual blessings. There's no way we can buy our salvation of our own selves. It's only with the shed blood of Jesus. Maybe we were born in Mennonite homes. Maybe we grew up and said, well, we weren't too bad. I'm a pretty good person. Definitely not like so-and-so. And you know, we tend to compare ourselves among ourselves, and that's not wise. We're all sinners. We all had the sin question. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to bring it to Jesus? Or are we going to let the world somehow appeal more than serving Christ? Remember, there is nothing that we can do for ourselves to take away the sin question. The sin that was passed down on you and me from Adam. Don't matter where we grew up, it don't matter what your background is, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the question I want to, before we go into the main part of the message and the stones that I would like to look at this morning, the stones of remembrance, I'd like to just think about that. Have you thought about how horrible your sin was? Have you thought about how great the price was that Jesus paid on the cross as he hung there and died for you and for me? Let's go into the, I have 8 points. Stones that we need to remember today. And this is not, this is what came to me. You can probably fill some more in there. But I'd like to think about, as we think of Jesus, his suffering and death on the cross, and how he has given his life, the unjustness of it. And I'd like to look at some stones, and maybe some of these are going to even overlap. But let's look at them. The first one I have, remembrance of Jesus and his stones of love. We know sometimes we say, well, it was love that held him there on that cross. Love. Turn with me to John 15. Jesus lived a life of love. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." The love of Jesus, as he, can we say, in thought of us sinners in 2019, and he faced the cross. He paid that price. He laid his life down. "Greater love hath no man than this." Agape love. Love that is for the unlovable. It's a choice he made. Today, as we ponder and think about the love of Jesus and how he has given his life, brethren and sisters, we ought so to love one another. Give up of self. Remember Jesus and his love, and let it affect your life. Love took him to the cross to shed his blood for you and for me. The second stone. Stone of concern for others. Remember Jesus and his concern for others. And I'm thinking specifically as we go to the cross experience. And he faced that cross. Beaten. Mocked. Finally nailed to the cross. Hanging there. Turn in your Bibles. We were at John, the last chapter there. But let's go to John 19. John 19, verse 26 and 27. Jesus is there. He's hanging on the cross. And he sees his mother there in verse 26. And the disciple standing by whom he loved, which was John, he said unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. Concern for others. Not for himself, but concern for his mom. Turn with me to Luke. Luke 23. Maybe I got these two switched around, but this is before Jesus, as he's on the way, carrying his cross. Remember, still he is beaten. He has a great loss of blood. And he says this in verse 28. And Jesus turning unto them, there's women that were following him there, and they were weeping and wailing. But Jesus turned unto them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck.' Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" The passage there, as we think of Jesus as his suffering and he's carrying that cross. These women are weeping. They're feeling the loss. He turns to them and his compassion and his concern for them. "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children coming after." Going down to verse 39, we see another account of Jesus and his concern for others and as he was suffering there. Verse 39, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' Jesus said unto him, 'Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This thief that was hanging there realized that here was a man in the middle that was unjustly condemned to die. He had done nothing wrong. He also realized his own great sin and the deeds that he did. Realized that the one hanging between him and his partner on the other side had something that he didn't have. Jesus, in his concern for him, I believe, shared with him what he could offer him. And today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a comforting thought. You know, Jesus could have went into a long spiel about, yes, how he's unjustly condemned. Yes, how he is hanging there. He has done nothing amiss. Brothers and sisters, his concern was more for that man's salvation. How are we doing today? As we view Jesus as his suffering and his concern for others, his compassion and concern for them, we aren't suffering like he was at that time. And yet we still sometimes feel hard-pressed to share our concern. Let's remember, Jesus' concern was shared even when times were tough. Let's make sure we do that today as well. The third one, stones of forgiveness. The stone of forgiveness. A memorial. I don't think there was a Roman soldier that ever nailed somebody to a cross that ever had these words said to him. Verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Unjustly condemned. I believe he willingly gave his life there. I believe as the soldiers were nailing him to that cross, maybe it's speculation, but I like to think of the fact that the thieves probably fought the soldiers the whole time while they're putting him on the cross. Here's a man in the center, willingly giving his life. And praying these words, Father, forgive them. Today, how are we forgiving those about us? As we look at the stone and we remember Jesus and his forgiveness to those men that wronged him, how do we do in forgiving others about us? I'd like to read a couple verses from Matthew 6. We know that's a Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus talks about forgiveness. He gives the Lord's Prayer there. And he goes on to say in verse 14 and 15, Matthew 6, verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men your trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Remember, your forgiveness of your fellow men makes a difference of whether God is going to forgive you. Something in our mind says, well, sometimes maybe we start feeling like, but you don't understand, they wronged me. Jesus was wronged. And he said, Father, forgive them. We must forgive one another. I have a little story I'd like to read with this point. One night in a church service, a young woman felt the calling of God in her heart. She responded to God's call for redemption and claimed Jesus as her Lord and Savior. The young woman had a rough past involving alcohol, drugs, but the change in her was evident. As time went on, she became a faithful member of the church. She eventually became involved in the ministry, teaching young children. It was not very long until the faithful young woman had caught the eye and heart of the pastor's son. The relationship grew and they began to make wedding plans. That's when the problems began. You see, about one half the church did not think that a woman with a past such as her was suitable for a pastor's son. The church began to argue and fight about the matter, so they decided to have a meeting. As the people made their arguments, the tension increased. The meeting was getting completely out of hand. The young woman became very upset about all the things brought up about her past. As she began to cry, the pastor's son stood to speak. He began to speak, and his statement was this: "My fiancée's past is not what's on trial here. What you are questioning is the ability of the blood of Jesus to wash away sin. Today, you have put the blood of Jesus on trial. So does it wash away sin or not?" The whole church went to tears as they realized that they had been slandering the blood of Jesus, not applying forgiveness, and how his blood can wash away sins. May that not be once named among us, where we start pointing fingers and lack of forgiveness to our fellow men. Let us extend forgiveness to one another. The fourth stone. I'd like to look at the stone of submission. Think about and remember Jesus' submission. All four Gospels, you know, in taking this story of Jesus' crucifixion, there's so many different details in each of the four Gospels, but let's turn to Luke 22. Three of them record this. Excuse me. Stones of submission. Luke 22. Verse 40, we know this account. It's when Jesus was at the Garden of Gethsemane. He was facing the cross. Let's remember his submission. Verse 40, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat were, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and were come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." Do you catch the submission of Jesus? "Father, not my will, but thine be done. I'd like to have this cup removed from me. I'd like to not have to go through this." Finally, "God, your will be done." His submission led him to the cross, because God's will was that he gave his life. Today, how is submission in my life? How is submission in your life? Are you willing to let the Lord lead, guide, and direct your life? Or maybe we're those that are not quite ready to turn it all over to him, because what if he leads me to some place I don't want to go? Brothers and sisters, we must have total submission. Not my will, but thine be done. Remember Christ's suffering and his submission to that. The fifth stone. The stone of self-sacrifice. I touched a little bit on it. As Jesus laid there and gave his life, he sacrificed self. And maybe it ties in with this last one of submission as he sacrificed self. But he willingly did it. You look at Jesus' life the whole way up through and you think of the remembrance of him. He was always doing something for others. The multitudes that thronged to him. You know, there's times in my life where I just like to have time to myself. I believe Jesus experienced that too, but his self-sacrifice said, give to them because they're as people that a sheep that have no shepherd. He's willing to give and to be used. Turn with me in the book of Luke, back to chapter 18. I think sometimes we get like Peter here in verse 28. Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." We've attained. We've left it all. We're following you as we ought. Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time than in the world to come life everlasting." There is a reward promised in those verses. When Jesus talks there in those other two verses, 29 and 30, he gives a promise. Sacrifice self, lay it all on the altar. Leave it to Jesus. There's a reward for you. Manifold more in this present time than in the world to come, life everlasting. Isn't that what we all want? The world to come, life everlasting. Let's look at Paul's life. As he thought of this self-sacrifice. Philippians 3. One verse there. Philippians 3, verse 8. Very familiar account. "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them that dung that I may win Christ." Self-sacrifice, it was nothing to him anymore. He gave up himself, Paul did, willing to sacrifice it all. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2. Let's read a number of verses here. Let's read from verse 8 to verse 14. "Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Paul, in his self-sacrifice, he knew what it was like to suffer as an evildoer. Was he an evildoer? No. False accusation. But he was charged with it and put in prison in the bonds for it. But I like what he says in verse 9. It's almost like he says, I gave up myself. It's no longer about me. It's no longer about what Paul thinks and what he should do. But the word of God is not bound. It's like Paul saying, yes, I'm here. Yes, it's not just. But God put me here and his word is not bound. It's going out. It's not the way I would prefer it to be, but it's going forth. May our testimony be that of self-sacrifice, willing to give even when, can we say, even when it's wrong, even when it's unjust. Let's remember Jesus in his self-sacrifices. He laid his life on the cross. Another little story. Jesus was the poorest man who walked the dirt roads of earth, born in poverty and reared in obscurity. He yet lived to enrich mankind. A stable was his birthplace, a manger his cradle. For 20 years he worked as a carpenter in a poverty-stricken and despised village which bore the scorn of man as they asked, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" He began his ministry at the Jordan River with no organization to support him, no patrons to enrich him. He publicly began a life of poverty that ended at the tomb. He preached without price and wrought miracles without money. As far as we know, he never possessed the value of $1. How pathetic his words, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." He was an inerrant preacher whose parish was of the world, who when invited, he entered man's homes for dinner. When Anna asked, he went hungry. He sought breakfast from the leafing fig tree, but found none. He ate grain from his hands as he walked through the fields of corn. His support came from the gifts of a few women, and his treasurer stole part of the pittance put therein. He walked on over the hills of Judea and by the waters of Galilee, enriching men, himself the poorest of all. He slept often under the open sky in the wilderness without food, by Jacob's well without water, in the crowded city without a home. Thus he lived and loved, toiled and died. His value was 30 pieces of silver when sold, the price of a slave, the lowest estimate of human life. So poor was he that he needs must carry his own cross through the city until, fainting, he fell. In a potter's field, he was nailed to that cross between two thieves, stripped of his robe, the gift of love, for which inhuman soldiers gambled as he died. With no estate with which to endow his weeping and widowed mother, he bequeathed her to the love of the beloved John. Then he gave his peace to the disciples, his pardon to the thief, his life for the world, his body to the cross, and his spirit to God. His burial clothes were the gift of a friend. He was laid at last in a borrowed tomb. Truly, Jesus was the poorest man that ever walked the dirt roads of earth, though he was rich. Yet for our sakes he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might become rich. How is your self-sacrifice today? I believe none of us is given to the extent of Christ, willing to give up the comforts that we experience here to spread his gospel. We can do better. For myself, I can do better. May we be self-sacrificing. And remember, as Jesus did that in this life, the sixth stone. Remember the stone of injustice. Jesus did nothing to merit being put to death. There was nothing he did here on earth that demanded that justice be served. He wasn't like those thieves. You know, the Bible says he could have called 12 legions of angels and taken him down. He could have called for that. But instead, he willingly took your sins and mine and nailed them to the cross. Injustice. But he was a just God. He faced injustice. But there was no sin in him. Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He was tempted. He went through it all. But he was just. He was right. He had no sin in his life. When he faced this injustice, he willingly gave his life. May we today, when injustice is served to us, today to us, be willing to be taken advantage of. And when the accusations that are brought are not right, take them. The seventh stone. I like to think about his high priestly work. These all kind of tie together a little bit more. Turn with me to Hebrews 4. Hebrew writer talks much about this high priest. We have a high priest. And we read verse 15 already of Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14 starts out, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest which is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." For we have that high priest. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." He can feel them. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He is God's Son, but he was without sin. We're thankful for that. Let's remember, his blood was a perfect blood. It was without sin. He willingly gave it for you and for me, so we can have our sins washed away. Remember the high priest in the Old Testament. He went in and offered that sacrifice to cover man's sin. We have a high priest today that was sinless. And he can wash you clean. Take your sins and wash them away. Not just cover them, wash them away. He gave his life for a sacrifice for that, for my sin and your sin. Romans 8. His high priestly work here. And what does he do for us today? When I think of Jesus shedding his blood and doing that high priestly work for my sins and for your sins, it doesn't just end there. It's continual. It's going on. He's still working for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Aren't you thankful this morning that we have a high priest that is standing there, willing, interceding for us when we fail? We come back and we express repentance, we express sorrow for our sin. Jesus is there. "Father,
I died for them. Are they not all right? Does my blood not cover that? Let's remember Jesus and his high and priestly work. The stone that he laid there. Remembrance. The eighth one. And the last one. Let's go back to Luke 22. We touched a little bit on this one. I'm going to take the time to read verse 40 to 45 again. Let's actually just jump down and read verse 44. Verse 44 is what I really want to pull out. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Let's jump back to Acts chapter 1. I'll come back to that thought in verse 44. Acts chapter 1. We're looking at a stone that Jesus laid that we need to remember today. As we are remembered Jesus and his shed blood. Acts chapter 1, verse 7 to 11. He said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." The stone of remembrance that I have for the eighth one. We must today live life in the remembrance that he is coming back. The disciples stood there and he went up into heaven. And he says there, "This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner." He's coming back from heaven to take us home. What are you and I doing in light of his soon return? Are we remembering it daily? What did it happen? What effect did it have on this? These people, these men of Galilee, go down to verse 14. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." In light of his soon return. In light of his coming back. These people went and they prayed. And they made supplication. They asked earnestly for God to hear their prayers. Their prayers were deep. Think of that, with that verse that we read in Luke 22, verse 44. As Jesus was in agony there in the Garden of Gethsemane. His sweat were as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I've never prayed that way yet. I've never been in that much agony yet. But God, somehow help us to see the need. As we look at the lost world about us and his soon coming back. To see the need of prayer. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. We must. We must be in prayer that way.
Jesus prayed and said, "It is finished. There was provision enough for your sins and my sins, so that we can be ready for his soon return. And it's written in the scripture, and there's proof enough that it's true, that he died for your sins and my sins and gave his life for you and me." A brick and a stone. 10 million bricks were delivered to the Empire State Building during its construction in the city of New York. That tall building, when the Twin Towers fell, it was again the tallest building there in New York City. Exactly 9,999,999 went into the building itself. But one was left over. It is on display on the top of the exhibition floors near the top. On one of the exhibition floors near the top. The Bible says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone." The stone that is set aside. We can read that in 1 Peter 2. "A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed." Psalm 118:22 says, "The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner." That brick that's in New York City, the Empire State Building, is just a brick. It's just a brick. It's lifeless, made of mortar, mud, a man-made rock. Compare that to our son Jesus, the one, that rock of cornerstone. Jesus is very much alive. That brick is lifeless, useless. It sits there idly doing nothing. It's not part of the building. Jesus is useful. He's saving people every day. That brick has to be held up and supported by more than 100 floors of steel and concrete. Jesus holds his building up. Jesus holds his church up. He's the chief cornerstone. That brick was accepted and put on display today. Jesus was rejected. He was broken on the cross. He gave his life. That brick is valueless. Jesus is precious. That brick points to mud that was hardened with a kiln. Jesus, he points to a rock, which is himself, from which a chip has never been flaked, still stands today. That rock is still there. Brothers and sisters, in Matthew 16:18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." How is the stones that we are remembering today? How am I doing with them in my life?
We can grow to be more like Jesus. I'm looking at my own life and His suffering and as He gave Himself on the cross. Are we willing to do what it takes to give of ourselves? And this morning, as we remember the suffering and what He did for us, let's remember that it should change us today. May the Lord bless.